And I'll be honest, the community of Bonnaroo is unlike any other music festival I've been to. Nope. I've been to Coachella, I've been to Lollapalooza, Shaky Knees, I've been to Music Midtown, a bunch of other smaller festivals here in Georgia. And the community of Bonnaroo is just something genuinely so special. I mean, the people there are so full of trinkets and gifts and beautiful ideas. And so just going to Bonnaroo, the amount of stickers I got in the first book was like, oh my gosh, I think I even have it in here in this fun facts page, how many stickers were placed.
Hey, welcome back to the What Podcast. I'm Barry, that's Brian, that's Russ, or Lord Taco, as we like to call him. Guys, I'm going to go ahead and save you the embarrassment. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I know the haircut is awesome. I did it about an hour and a half ago myself.
What? You cut your own hair?
Yourself?
Had Kelly do a little trim around the ears, but man, I'm happy with this one.
You don't have a Flowbee, right?
It's kind of.
Anybody know what the Flowbee is?
But it's the old kind your dad used to use when he gave you the burr haircuts.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of people out there going, the hell is a Flowbee? Look it up.
There's also a lot of old people like me who knew if you had siblings, you wanted to go first, because if you went last, that thing got hot.
Yeah.
It would burn the crap out of your head.
Luckily, I didn't have to deal with that a lot.
Anyway, how are you guys doing?
Doing well. Yeah. Looking forward to this January being over with. We're almost there, just because I'm looking forward to the spring, and there's no other reason than that. So we'll be there before you know it.
Yeah, so we got a couple of things today. Not a lot of news, but we have a guest that I'm really excited about.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
Amazing story. We talk on this show all the time about the many tentacles, if that's the right thing, about Bonnaroo. Everybody has a story. Everybody's different.
It sparks creativity, you know? It really does. You'll hear more from Caleb, our guest here shortly, about, you know, you can show up on the farm and not have any, I don't want to say not have charisma or as first word that came ahead, but not have a lot of motivation to be really eccentric and in with a lot of different people. It's very intimidating. It can be. It's very common. Mm-hmm. And Bonnaroo unlocks that out of people.
Well, like, I've said it, and you and I have said it. It changed my life.
It sounds hyperbolic, but it's true. It's a life-changing event. And, you know, for me, it was 20 years ago, but it has, meaning when that first click, right. but there's waves of that. I can talk to you about 07, 08. I can talk to you about 14, 13, you know, 15. I can talk to you about 2-3 years ago. And there's something different in every one of those that is some kind of unlock that, whether it's small or big, it never will cease to amaze me and inspire me even more.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's not just, it changed my life professionally. Introduced me to you two. I wouldn't know you two. Certainly wouldn't be spending, you know, an hour every week with you two.
Wouldn't be putting up with y'all dumbasses all this time if it weren't for that.
And so Caleb's story, you'll hear about it. He created the Bonnaroo yearbook, which is really, really cool. And we'll get into that. But Brian, you sent me a thing, Hinterland.
Yeah, I want to hear about a show you went to here before we get done here in a minute.
Right.
But let's start with that, though, since we're there, because I was just looking at this last night, this Hinterland. It is in St. Charles, Iowa, which is just south, 30 miles south of Des Moines. If you just want a quick, you know, look in your head of a triangle on the map, you got Kansas City, Chicago, St. Louis, St. Charles. So right around there in the Midwest, getting a little further. We call Ohio the Midwest. This is actually getting a little further west. I'd say that about because we're talking temperature and weather.
Right.
And so their lineup was just released. The headliner is Tyler, the Creator, of course. Casey Musgraves, Lana Del Rey. It's kind of a boutique festival. Smaller lineups, probably in the city. Didn't go that far to look at it as far as a city festival. But what they have done, it's in August. they're going to offer refunds. I mean, do you see this, Taco, yeah. by chance? That they're going to offer refunds if it gets to 90 degrees. 90.
Yeah.
Like, if I just stop there, like, okay, there's a story, move along. You'd be like, whoa, 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 back up, man. I know. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And this was just announced in the last couple of days.
Clutch the pearls.
I mean, I'll read this real quick from their official site, just a short portion of it. If on Tuesday, 7:29 at 10 a.m. Central, if weather.gov has the temperature above, now I'm paraphrasing a little bit, 90 degrees or above for August 1st, 2nd, or 3rd, you can request a refund.
A refund
on your tickets if it mm-hmm. gets 90 or above. Now, it does seem like you can manipulate that. Hey, weather.gov, say 89, please.
Right.
But this is in response to last year. I watched a news report, a local Iowa news report on this. 105 on the heat index at last year's fest. I'm guessing, I didn't go this far, they must be milder than that most years. Now, here down in Tennessee in August,
yeah,
90's just getting going.
That's a Monday.
Yeah. I was going to say, could you imagine if Bonnaroo offered this? 90 degrees, it would be every day.
Nobody would go. Well, yeah, lots of people would go, but plenty of people would consider not doing it. So they must get milder temperatures, but that's still only 800 miles from us. So for the fact of them to get to 90 seems like it could be quite possible. But last year was an extreme case. They had water line issues, all the same stuff that a boutique festival would have. Think our Moon River here, think Railbird in Kentucky, those kinds of festivals. And they had a flooding of social media hate and anger, and most of it was probably, you know, valid, and much of it was just people trying to make a lot of noise. Either way, this is their response, and I mean,
that's what's interesting to me is that they had to think about it. I mean, like, you know, apparently it was a big enough a deal that they had to have a policy.
Yeah, I guess last year's headliner was Hozier, Noah Kahan, and Vampire Weekend for the year last year with the heat that we're talking about specifically. Chappell Roan was on there. Just like every other festival last year, she was lower down, and that swelled crowds, and it tested the infrastructure. And so it wasn't just heat. It was water. It was lines.
Sure.
And so people were pissed.
It was an issue enough that they've had to have this policy. That's fascinating.
Yeah, 90 degrees.
So please buy your ticket, issues. And, you know, if it's bad, we'll refund your that's fascinating. So
well, I guess also had.
Sorry, go ahead.
They've also had issues with rain and flooding really bad, and the way their campground was set up, it was kind of at the bottom of the hill, so it got all the runoff. And I remember talking to Ada, who went either last year or the year before, and she said her tent just got flooded. She had to leave the campground and just go get a hotel because, you know, you couldn't stay in it. So
I didn't see that part of it.
Yeah, and so they've dealt with issues like this before, and I believe they made some changes for their campground to actually move it to a more place where it's not going to get as flooded if they get rain.
It's not put it below sea level.
That's exactly. So they clearly have a history of having issues that could be terrible, you know, could be a festival killer, but they've taken steps to try to resolve those. And I guess this is all kind of the same thing. They want to keep this thing going. They want people to feel safe and comfortable. So
they probably just wanted to come up with one kind of policy that would be a little radical to make you think we are taking the problems we've had in the past seriously to the point where if you just don't want to go now, no questions asked. So interesting idea. Also, if it is just 91 and you wanted to go and it was going to be 87, you're still going, you know, so they're going to hope that's actually not going to be something that people take them up on. Maybe it's a stroke of brilliance of marketing and people think that they're doing the right thing. And maybe that's maybe they are exactly doing the right thing. I don't know. Just wild because I've never seen anything like it.
I know that exactly. We'll have to hear from our Iowa correspondent.
We'll get Parker, a hold of that guy.
Parker will reach out here pretty soon. we'll get some more information. So.
Right. Definitely. I think Chloe has also been to that festival too.
Chloe's been to every festival.
Well, yeah, I guess that's true.
She's got to try all the fare, right?
She's got to have all the food. Yeah.
You can't have a handle that says "Should I eat at festivals?" and not be there.
Yeah, that's a good point.
All right, so you were going to ask me about the show that I went to.
Everybody at our local theater. We have two of them. One I like more is under, and Barry, I think you're in the same boat as me on that one as far as just overall the what we love in the city more. The smaller one of our old theaters is under construction, but our bigger one. I saw people posting all over social media the other day, and the memorial was full. A lot of times they have the upstairs curtained off because it's a bigger room, and it was totally open. I'm like, what am I? How am I getting so old and not noticing what's going on in my own city? And Barry, you're there, and others, and it was the Martin and Martin show, right?
Yeah, Martin Short at Memorial Auditorium. I saw our buddy Denson. Denson Lee, who works there now,
formerly of our
Camp Nut Butter, veteran, I think founder actually,
the mayor for the a little mayor. Bit. He got the
yeah. They had over 3,000 people there for that show. It
looked
was,
like it.
I saw their first. I mean, first of all, Steve Martin. Look, if you started playing any one of his three records right now, I could go word for word. I mean, I was that 14, 15, 16 year old kid who knew, just adored Steve Martin. I think Martin Short can be as funny as any human being on the planet. My wife and I saw their show 6-7 years ago when it first started. It was funny, but and I didn't think about it until after this one. That first one was kind of like the same joke told 35 different ways for an hour and a half. You know, it's the same, hey, you're this and you're the, you know, picking on each other.
Yeah.
The other night was amazing. They've tightened that thing up, and the was it Steel Canyon Rangers? That's the band, right?
That's his backing band.
God, they're Steve Martin. Good.
So this was a musical and comedic blend?
So what they did was they opened the show with about 10 minutes of video clips from their movies, from Saturday Night Live, from Jiminy Glick, everything. And it just set the tone because it was so funny. You know, everybody knows who
it's
guys
in nostalgia
are.
And it's all stuff you remember. So that's a good prime in the pop, you know.
Yeah, King Tut. I mean, just. Oh, you know, one after another.
I'm more of a Martin Short guy because he's closer to my generation of comedy.
Yeah.
I like them both, but Martin Short was I liked a little bit more. I like them both. But I've always wondered, is it more driven to a belly laugh or a
great
performance?
Question. Great question, because the first show was not belly laugh. That's what we expected and didn't get. It was more stories, more back and forth, with the occasional quip, you know, picking on each other.
Sure.
This, the other night, was a belly laugh every 60 seconds.
Really?
Not kidding.
Hate I missed it.
They back and forth, and then they would do some musical. They had Jeff, I can't think of his last name, but the piano player for... Fallon, maybe one of the late night guys is their piano player.
Yeah.
And so they did bits with that, and they, you know, a lot of the bits you've seen, they did a little Jiminy Glick bit. They come out, Short comes out in a kilt and with the big ginormous guy who picks him up and plays him like he's a bagpipe.
Yeah.
We've seen that, you know? Yeah. But it was still funny. And then in the middle, Steve comes out with his banjo, picks a little, and then the band comes out, and they do 15 minutes.
So it's a little of both.
It's everything. And it moved so quick.
Did Martin Short wear the fat suit for Jiminy Glick?
Yeah. Yeah. He comes out. Steve comes out holding him. He's like a puppet.
I almost tried. I almost tried to impersonate the Jiminy Glick thing, but that would have not gone well.
I mean,
tell me all you.
Yeah. Look, I mean, two of my favorite.
Ed Grimley?
A little bit.
Ed Grimley.
A little bit.
That's what I remember.
But two of the funniest lines, three actually, ever. The Jiminy Glick, when he asked Mel Brooks, what's your big beef with the Nazis? Is maybe the funniest line I've ever heard.
Man. That's
and the
cool.
other is Steve Martin, and they used it in this when he introduced Carl Reiner at like the Kennedy Center Awards. You know, they're honoring Carl Reiner, and Steve comes out and says, I could go on for hours talking about Carl Reiner and his impact on comedy and me. And he said, but this seems like neither the time nor the place.
Oh my God, that's funny.
Isn't it funny? It kills me.
It's so simple. That's why it's so good.
It's genius. And then the other is...
that's serious. That's hilarious.
And when the two met was for Three Amigos, which I do not find funny.
I don't like that movie at all.
I can't stand that movie.
Don't like it at all.
Oh.
But apparently Martin had to go to Steve's house to get the script, and that's when they first met. And he walked in, and he's looking around, and he's like, look at all this artwork. You've got Picasso's. This is amazing. How did you afford it? Because I've seen your work.
Boy, we could repackage that one to
So it was that kind
to
of
a lot of people we know
over
to ourselves.
And over, but it was so good. But yeah,
I've seen what you do. How the hell do you afford any of this stuff? Usually, really... Usually, one cannot recreate a comedy show to like in this setting. Like, let me tell you some of the things they said, and usually falls flat. Those hit.
Oh my God.
I like that.
Yeah, they're so funny.
I think that's a testament to how simple yet effective the comedy that both of those guys do.
Yeah. What's your big beef with the Nazis just kills me.
That's
hilarious. One of those I'll wake up in the middle of the night and just start laughing. So it was really good. And, I'm glad you brought it up. And for anybody who's on the fence, if they're coming to anywhere close, go see it. It's a great 2-hour show.
Well, I wanted to ask because I figured the answer would be good, and I was bummed that I let that one just slide right underneath me. Didn't notice it was happening. I knew it was coming, then forgot.
Well, I mean, I'm not kidding. The first time we saw him, it was for me. It was I'm going because he's my heroes, but the show was meh.
Were you on the fence about going again, or was there no doubter?
Yeah. Kinda. In fact, my wife didn't go. She was like, "I didn't."
Already saw this, maybe.
Didn't laugh, and next morning she's like, "What was different?" I said, "It's just so tight and so much better. It's just nonstop. So it's really, really good." But it was funny. So. All right. What other news? Oh, we got a contest. So we're going to play some of our entries.
We can probably do that after the ending.
Yeah, we'll do that on the tail end. Yeah. Why don't we get to Caleb, and then we'll wrap up with that, and we'll go from there.
Let's listen to Caleb. This is a great interview.
Yeah, the Bonnaroo Yearbook. What is it?
Yeah.
Where's it going? We'll find out.
If you normally just listen to the podcast, you probably want to watch this one either on YouTube or Spotify. It's very visual because he shows a lot of pages from the book. He sent a lot of pictures over to put up. So yeah, you're gonna want to see it.
That's a great point. I'm glad you thought of that. Here we go. Hey, there he is. There's Caleb. How are you,
How's
man?
Going? Good. How are you?
Welcome to the show. Thanks for
doing this.
Thank
you very much. Yeah, of course. I'm happy to be here.
Especially, I think Brian reached out to you, like 10 minutes ago?
It was like last night, yesterday.
It wasn't long. As buttoned up as we might seem, every now and again, we're scrambling. We have no idea what we're going to do next. So thank you very much, Caleb, for joining
us. I'm excited to be here. I'm back in the cabin.
I appreciate it very much. And you, as we've said, represent, as so many of us, this many tentacles that is Bonnaroo, right? I mean, this thing has gotten into our lives in so many different ways. And you're about to share with us a whole nother way. What is it you do?
So I do a project called the Bonnaroo Yearbook. This is a little sneak peek of what it is here. And essentially what I do is I go around Bonnaroo with a leather-bound journal, something like this or something like this. And I go up and I say, hey, do you like to sign the Bonnaroo Yearbook? And they go in and they find a page and they leave their mark, whether that's through stickers or photographs or drawings. And then I take scans and pictures of all the pages. I take photos of people as they're signing the book, candid moments from the farm. And then I turn it into an actual physical printed yearbook. And it has scans of all of the pages from everyone's contributions that they've added, as well as photos from around the farm. And then I also have some really fun things like superlatives, interactive I Spy pages of all the candy people believe, you know, like award for best candy gifted at the festival. And so it's an actual printed yearbook full of everyone's memories and moments. And it's just a really cool way to look back at Bonnaroo and have like a tangible physical book that you can go and see everyone's contributions in.
Well, let's back up just a touch here. Caleb, you reside currently in Atlanta. Am I right
yes.
about that?
Yeah, I'm in Atlanta. Yeah.
And let's back up just a quick look that I did yesterday. What, 5-6 years ago, this idea started to brew, but it wasn't at Bonnaroo, right? It didn't start at Bonnaroo. Talk about let's get the name out there too. What it's Festa Box.
Yeah.
Festi Books.
Yeah.
With two O's. Sorry, the spelling threw me off a little bit.
Absolutely.
Jump back to the origins of it from
sure,
5 or 6 years ago. That because and correct me if I'm wrong. This wasn't initially a Bonnaroo only idea, correct?
No. That's where the book came from. That's you kind of just saw the pitch of what it's turned into, but its origins actually start back with this. So I've been journaling since I was maybe 14 or 15. I was 15. That's kind of when I started getting into smoke and weed for the first time. And the way I justified it to myself was that I could do art and draw and write and put my thoughts down. And as long as I was making art with it, then it was like justified. That's how my brain justified
it. It's okay to get high as long as you're doing it.
As long as it's
artist.
For the art.
I like it. Multitasking.
I've been doing that since I was maybe 14, 15, just journaling, just writing in books. And I went to my first music festival in 2019. I was Coachella. That was my first ever music
festival.
It's a
hell of a place to start.
Changed my life. Oh my gosh, I can't even express how fun it was. But something that I found surprisingly difficult was meeting people or just talking to people or introducing myself to people. And at the time, I just had a hard time going. I mean, people are decked out in beautiful costumes. They're having a good time. They're in big groups of people. And I wanted to participate in that, but I found it really challenging. So I had my journal with me because I just bring it everywhere all the time. It's just a habit of mine. And I decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to go up to random people. And it started out with people that I felt like weren't intimidating. So generally, like, it would be someone that was working at the festival, or it would be someone who maybe was just like kind of a little bit older, just sitting on their own, just looking at the scenery, you know, someone that I wasn't necessarily intimidated by, but I just went up and I said, can you write something in my book? And they'd be like, for what? I was like,
yeah, no doubt.
I don't know. Do you want to draw? And it was, super weird. It was super awkward. And it wasn't for any reason other than just like an icebreaker. It was just a way to kind of initiate conversation with someone. And it was intimidating. It was so intimidating going up to just a random person and asking them to write something random in a book. But eventually, after doing it about 5, 6, 7, 8 times, it started getting really fun because people would leave like cute little messages, or they would draw just a random doodle, or you know, they'd be like, oh, this is kind of a fun idea. And I remember at a certain point, someone came up to me and said, oh, so it's like your yearbook. Mm. And I'm like, oh, that's genius. Ding, 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 ding. You know, that's exactly what this is. It's a yearbook of all of the people that I met at the festival. And I was like, this is genius. This is like, what a great idea. I would love to, you know, next festival, like do that more. Because I maybe got like 20 or 30 people to sign this book. And otherwise, it's just my journal. And it wasn't like a dedicated project or anything. It was just a way to meet people. And so I said, okay, that's fun and all, but I'm going to make a challenge to myself. Next music festival, I'm going to bring a notebook and I'm going to make the goal to fill the entire notebook, like fill this whole thing with signatures. And that's going to force you to meet a bunch of people to try and fill all the pages. Cause I was like still a little intimidated of going up to people at this point. And so my next music festival was Lollapalooza. So I made the Lolla yearbook, and I'll get you guys some video footage that you can put in of this later. But it's a little Moleskine notebook about the size of an iPhone, I'd say. And I just went up to people during the entirety of Lollapalooza, and I filled the entire notebook. And I mean, there's not a single blank page in this whole thing. And I found that the community of these music festivals and going up and talking to the people was actually one of my favorite parts now. It was like, it became so much fun going up to people and asking them if they wanted to sign a yearbook. Because once I changed it from, do you want to write something in my book, to do you want to sign the Lolla yearbook, people's energy completely changed. It was like, oh, I get to be a part of this like cool little yearbook, and you're gonna fill the whole book. Like, you know, people on the first day are like, no way you're gonna fill the whole thing. Like, that's gonna take forever to fill up that thing. And it takes a long time to fill up a notebook with signatures. But I loved it. It was so much the adrenaline, and just the meeting someone for the first time became like a really fun experience, especially at music festivals where we naturally just share a lot of interests. So conversations just kind of came very naturally after that. And it was really, really fun. So I was like, okay.
I can see, Brian. I got questions too. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, the whole journaling thing is I don't want to call it new because it's not new, but it's certainly generational. I mean, it's Dear Diary to a certain degree in a new form and in a more art form in a shareable way. Has journaling been part of what you've done? Maybe you already said this, sorry, but before this, was journaling a mental exercise for you to begin with?
Yeah, journaling has always been a kind of form of means to why I'm like, I would mostly for when it started out, I would just only journal when I was high. That was it. They were like kind of my high journals, and it was my justification at the time. And then journaling kind of transitioned from that into, it's just fun to draw and just write your thoughts and just leave something on something physical or write down cool things that happened. Cause then now I'm left with like all these notebooks of like a bunch of really cool, amazing art and drawings for myself and others over the past years. So,
the only reason I bring that up is because I've been getting more and more into the idea of it. I do a version of it. It's on a notepad, right? Like I have it in a backpack. I have a notepad. It's not in a cool looking book or anything, but we all have a notes app on our phone. We all have an iPad. We all have an electronic way to keep notes. And it's just not the same. Like, it's not even close to the same thing. You'll change that phone 20 times in the next, you know, 30 years if you have that long. You'll keep those books forever. I think it's a really cool just mental exercise and practice all the way around.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun.
How did it change, Caleb? You said your first year, 2019, right?
Yeah, 2019.
You were very shy. You were very shy about going up and approaching people. How did that change? I mean, how did you pick people once you realized that they were into it, right? Yeah. That it wasn't, I'm asking, did it change? You weren't quite as shy. How did you choose who you approached? That kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
How did that change?
So the switch moment, the where it like transitioned over, was the group of people that I went with to Coachella. They had brought some party favors, and that was my first time ever trying it before. And I think it was that paired with one of the like main people that I was there with at the time. She reacted in a very hermit mode way, and I reacted in a I want to go deep people, but I don't know how kind
Wait,
of a way.
What do you mean party favors?
You know what he means.
Well, come on, Barry.
Something I had never done before at that point.
Mushrooms or drugs?
Yeah, it was Molly. It was my first time ever trying it.
I just
wanted... and yeah, I threw curious as to what it was. That was it. But it was, I had never had it before.
Get you in trouble? I just wanted to make sure it wasn't.
Yeah, actually, Barry's a narc.
Gonna need your address and social security number.
Well, if you order a yearbook, you'll get the return.
No,
address,
but
so there you go.
I ask because that's key. I mean, that changes people's mindset.
That's true.
That's why.
And I think was definitely the rip cord that started that engine of like my urge or my desire to go and meet new people. And I was teaching photography in Dubai at that time, actually. So I flew from Dubai to LA to Coachella, and it was a whole big thing. And I mean, I went all out for it.
Hold on. We'll continue. We'll come back to that.
Yeah, we can come back to it. But so when I went out there and I had Molly for the first time, first music festival, my girlfriend at the time who I was with, she was just on lockdown mode. We had a bunch of friends with us in a big group of like five or six. And so they decided to stay with her at whatever stage it was at. And then I just went off with my book and just was like, I want to meet down to talk to people. But to answer your other question of how did I choose who to talk to, it started off with like security guards and honestly older people who just didn't look intimidating. And I don't mean to like, you know, judge a book by its cover type
no,
of situation.
This is why I'm asking, because
that's,
I mean,
that's how it started.
I've walked around there with a camera, like looking for interesting things, and it sounds you see it, you notice it, but it's sometimes not.
Yeah.
But then it is, you know, when you start talking to somebody, you're like, everybody has a story and everybody's interesting.
And there have been a few times where the interactions have gotten a little bit weird, or people like, you know, get overtly attached. And let's say they're on something and they fall in love with the project or the energy of what's going on in the book.
I love you, man, stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what it is. So that was me in 2019, but I just didn't know how to do it because I was scared. So that's how the book started, right? So
love it. Okay.
That's how it got started. And then the Lollapalooza one where I filled this whole notebook, that was more of a personal challenge. That was like, hey, this is something that was obviously exciting at that time, and it was a lot of fun. I was like, I want to take it a step further and try and maybe meet people in my age range, or maybe if someone's, let's say, in a group of people all decked out in super amazing wave wear, normally I wouldn't go up and approach, but then I would turn it into like a, you know, a challenge to try and get everyone to sign the book. So I'd come up and be like, all right, guys, who wants to sign the Lollapalooza yearbook? Go through the whole thing. And then sometimes it would be more personal, and like there would be two people sitting by a tree, and it's nighttime and it's kind of winding down a little bit, and I would just go up and I wouldn't say anything, and I would just hand them the book and a pen, not saying anything.
Just see what happens.
See what they do with it. See if they ask me any questions anything, and just let them contribute. I've had people at 2 a.m. just sitting, writing their heart out like it's their own journal in the 2023 Bonnaroo yearbook. It was just amazing. Which leads me to Bonnaroo 2023. So after Lollapalooza, I made an Instagram page with pictures of all of the pages, so anyone that signed it could see it. But I was like, I want there to be a physical version, which is when I started the concept of like, I'm going to make an actual printed book of this. So that way, if people want to have a copy and flip through the pages, they can also see not only their own contribution, but also the contribution of everyone else from the festival. And that's when I started going like, oh, I want to make a book. I think that'd be really fun for my next festival, which happened to be Baru, which is the evolution of that.
Yeah, Brian, you'll remember, Russ, I think you've seen it, the fence going into the wet stage where people would write stuff, right? That was... Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they paint over that every year. So this is an actual...
Yeah. I mean, it's like a book version of the wall.
Exactly.
A little bit. So real quick, though, I got to jump back to Dubai. First of all, this is where in the world is Caleb, right? Like, we're in California, we're in Illinois, we're in Manchester, we're in Dubai. Let's jump back to that real quick. Teaching photography in Dubai... A few sentences on it. If you only had a minute to tell somebody what that's about, sure. I'm just curious myself.
Yeah. So I'm a photographer by trade. That's my profession. That's what I do. So in 2018, I got the opportunity to go out and teach photography in Dubai. And one of the main reasons I did that is my dad's a photographer. He's been doing it for as long as I've been alive. And in ninth grade, I dropped out of high school to pursue photography, or I guess in 10th grade I dropped out. 10th grade I dropped out to pursue photography, and when I was 18, I flew to Dubai for 3.5 years and was a photography instructor out there for a company called Gulf Photo Plus. Shout out to Gulf Photo Plus.
3.5 years, wow.
But yeah, 3.5 years, and then I moved back in September of 2020, so a few months after the pandemic, I decided I want to go back to the States, let it go home. And then I flew back here. And then, yeah.
Started this journey, it sounds like, for the most part. Yeah, I mean, so it's taken you some time to, even though you've traveled pretty well and you've been around a lot of people, to get comfortable. And that's not unusual. I mean, we talked about this on the front end when we were before the show, the pre-show meeting. I was like, it's not a failure at life to not be good at easily communicating with other people. I mean, that's not like some horrible thing, but people have trouble with that. And this is a really cool way for you personally. So you start in Coachella, you move on to the Lollapalooza. So you've hit some of the big leagues, you know, the big time here. What Bonnaroo gets on your, clearly, you know what it is. If you know what festival life is beginning to be in your life, what brings you to Bonnaroo other than we all want to go if we're a festival type,
but right.
How does this transition to now you're into, you know, we're talking just a couple of years ago. How does Bonnaroo get into something to that now it appears to be something that you're pretty passionate about?
Yeah. Well, I was looking for festivals near me cause I live in Atlanta, Georgia now. And I currently don't have the money to go and go crazy Coachella big trip and everything. So I was looking for festivals kind of closer to Atlanta. And I've always heard Bonnaroo is like the Coachella of the East Coast. And so I was like, oh, that sounds like fun. And the lineup for 2023 was great. I mean, I was just like, oh, this is going to be amazing. So I decided to kind of go all out. I got VIP. It was my first time ever buying VIP ticket to anything. And I also got the 6-day car camping. So I was there from Tuesday to, I guess, Monday when we leave.
Yeah, you and Taco are going to be new best friends.
Yeah,
that's the way to do it.
Yeah, I'd go all the way out. And it was my first time ever solo camping. So I just only brought my car.
Time you've been to the festival, you're just flying solo and you already have a little social anxiety. Wow. Good luck, buddy. Good luck. Yeah,
jumped right in.
I, prior to going to Bonnaroo, knew I wanted to do this book project and I knew I wanted a way for people to get a copy of it. And so I had no idea how much it was going to cost. I had no idea how big the book was going to be because I had never done this before. So when I went to Bonnaroo for the first time and I was doing this, I was telling people to go to this website I had made where I had like pictures from other festivals that I had gone to. There was like no product photos because I mean there was nothing. It was like a
there was no product.
Yeah, there was no product, right? So I had
you had the concept already.
I had the concept, but
let me ask two two things. Let me jump in. So you had the concept, and I think Brian kind of touched on it a little bit. How have you changed since that first, you know, shy guy didn't want to approach somebody? In that interim time, it sounds like you kind of got over it. Like, I mean, big time, right?
Yeah, what was the unlock? What was the click there?
You had no problem approaching people.
Yeah, it was through just doing it a lot. I think forcing yourself to, and not even forcing yourself, but just being curious and interested in other people. And there are so many people at the festival you walk by and you just go, man, I love their energy.
That guy and, got a story. Everybody's got a story.
Yeah. And you just want to, and you just may want to talk to them, you may be shy, but the only way I found to get better at talking to people or introducing yourself to people is to just do it a lot. And the format of the book makes it really easy for anyone to just take a notebook, write down the festival name and year, and just walk up and ask if they want to sign their yearbook. And you even saw with Bonnaroo last year in 2024, they gave everyone in the little promo things a little yearbook encouraging people to go and make friends and use it as a way to meet people, which I think maybe they saw.
Yeah, I'm going to say you got a little copyright infringement.
I did make it to one of the promo videos on their Instagram page, on Bonnaroo's official Instagram. The book was featured in it, which I thought was really cool.
Bonnaroo is one of the most innovative entities in the world. I will say, after this podcast launched, guess what Bonnaroo did?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, that's it. We'll leave that sitting.
No, they're very good at paying attention.
We'll leave that sitting right there. Yeah. So you're going into year number three then?
Yes, this will be my third year doing the printed Bonnaroo yearbook. And during the first one, which was really, really cool, I got Portugal the Man to sign it. I got Remy Wolf to sign it, which was really cool, which was happening because of someone who was signing the book at the time. Her friend came up.
Right place, right time, yeah.
Yeah, we're getting on the golf carts to go see Remy Wolf officiate a wedding. So I was like, okay, that's amazing. Let's. But they were signing the book. So they were like, can you bring the book?
Come on.
And they were like, yeah, let's go. So we hop on to the golf cart. We get from Where in the Woods all the way transported to House of Matrimony inside Centeroo. And then all of a sudden, 15, 20 minutes later, there's a flood of people. Remy Wolf comes out. There's like a bunch of couples lined up. And I'm like, what the? This is incredible. So Remy Wolf officiates. She goes off to a little corner. And I'm like, oh, this is the perfect chance to get Remy Wolf to sign the yearbook. And I start walking over towards her. And would you believe it? Someone who had signed the book the day prior, she was like one of the coordinators for all of this. And she was like, oh my gosh, Caleb, hi, how are you? How's the yearbook going? And I was like,
wow.
What are the odds of this? Yeah,
like, I believe it. Because
at Bonnaroo, I believe it all day long.
Yeah. That's what happened.
And she was like, oh my gosh, how's the yearbook going? I'm like, it's going great. You know, I filled this many more pages since you last signed it. And I was like, I'm actually trying to get Remy Wolf to sign the yearbook. And she was like, oh, Tom. Yeah, you see it? And like gave like a little like nod to security over the Remy Wolf and just ushered me over, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm Remy Wolf, nice to meet you. I think I have a photo of it somewhere here in this one. This is the first one I made. It's a 12 by 12, so it's a little bit bigger. But there's a bunch of photos and stuff like that. So Remy Wolf is in here. Portugal is in here.
How did you stumble on the guys from Portugal the Man? How did you stumble on the Portugal the Man band?
Yeah, so that was actually right before Remy Wolf. So Portugal the Man was at Where in the Woods, and he had just done his listening party. And I saw there were a bunch of people. If you looked at the fence of where that like big UFO stage thing is at Where in the Woods, everyone was like in this little huddle over on the left side of the stage. And so I was like, oh, let me go check out what they're peeping at. And I walked over to like the very far right side, and I saw Portugal way down at the end, just signing stuff and talking to people. And I was wondering if he was going to come down over, but I was just like, nah, I got to go for it. So I just kind of made my way into the front of the fence. It's like, sorry, guys. Sorry. Portugal, would you like to sign the Bonnaroo yearbook? And then got him to sign it, took a picture of him with it. Send you guys that photo
That's
too.
That's so funny. Think about the transition, guys. Yeah. I mean, this is a shy guy who wouldn't approach anybody to now all of a sudden he's, paparazzi. Yeah.
Getting waved in by security.
All right. Right on the transition. But I found it opened up so many doorways. Just talking to, like, even security or event staff or people working, doing, like, spicy pies even. Just asking them, like, hey, do you have any secret knowledge?
It's the same with us. We've not had anyone say no. We've had maybe one or two people say no. Mm-hmm. Everybody likes talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, you're already in a place where people are pretty open to just about anything. So if you've got any kind of drive or motivation, like you clearly have built these years, that I can see how that works out to the level it has. When did you get to where you wanted to make it more of a not just a signature? You wanted some pictures.
I mean, that's a big leap. That's my question.
I love the superlatives too. I forgot
drawing,
what that
best handwriting,
meant.
Best signature.
What
we have
you,
in
Brian?
There?
Best, most likely to what?
I don't think I made the superlative. Yeah, probably. Most likely to drop out.
Complain.
Yeah. But when did you want to make it more visual? Was that part of it from the jump, or did that come later?
I think part of it came with time. So when I first started with the Lollapalooza and filling this one out, the only pen I had was just like a Micron 08 pen. And so it was like basically all black and white. And I'll be honest, the community of Bonnaroo is unlike any other music festival I've been to. I've been to Coachella, been to Lollapalooza, Shaky Knees. I've been to Music Midtown, a bunch of other smaller festivals here in Georgia. And the community of Bonnaroo is just something genuinely so special. I mean, the people there are so full of trinkets and gifts and beautiful ideas. And so just going to Bonnaroo, the amount of stickers I got in the first book was like, oh my gosh, I think I even have it in here in this fun facts page, how many stickers were placed. And let's see, let's go fun facts. So total signature count, 1,074 legible signatures. Most frequent names were David and Jack, which each appeared 6 times.
So you even have the whole thing cited and everything in the back,
I have all the names alphabetized.
Oh my God.
So every single name that I could make out. The so sticker cool. count, the first book was 65 stickers were placed in the first book. And then the sticker count in the second book, let's see, if we go to our fun facts page here, let's see, we had way more stickers this year.
I love this.
We were fully
it's
decked
a
out.
Hell of a
stickers.
Passion project, man.
I love this.
Yeah. Oh, I made the Bonnaroo logo out of candy. That was really fun. Go.
That's pretty neat.
Nice. Yeah, we had candy
really
in our
that.
Mailbox. We had candy and a cigarette.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. Here's the fun fact page and the list of all of the names over here, alphabetized as well. Total pages, 242 pages, 6 Polaroids added, 154 stickers placed. I took a total on my camera of 1,190 images. 1,011 unique contributions, 328 trinkets gifted. And those trinkets that were gifted were all completely photographed. Every single trinket, it's upside down. Every single trinket was photographed that he's given to us, which is really fun to go through and explore. So it's more than just the scans of the pages and, pictures of the people. It's also stuff that would maybe be akin to an actual yearbook, or at least as much of a yearbook as it can be in Bonnaroo terms.
Yeah.
And then I have someone had a good idea of putting the lineup on the back of it, which I thought was really cool. So that's really fun. So this is the first one, and then this was last year's 2023, and then 2024 I'm planning on doing it again. But I've learned a lot from both of these years, and I think next one's going to be the best one I've made so far.
We should have given
every
you
year we'll continue
should have given you a heads up with this question, but I'm guessing you've been asked before. What are the memorable stories What are the ones that stand out?
From last year in particular, I got to meet I Am Bonnaroo, David Bruce from I Am Bonnaroo.
I have it on my list to get to it. Go ahead.
Love me some David Bruce.
David Bruce. I found out about his work the first year I went to Bonnaroo. And I was like, oh, no, he's already doing the yearbook. Like, I'm too late. The Bonnaroo yearbook project's already taken up. But his was different. He was shooting everything on film and
very different
stories.
Very different.
And I loved his work. And the first year I was trying to find him, or I was going to go and find him, but something happened and I ended up not seeing him. But I messaged him on Instagram after Bonnaroo was over. He was like, come find me next year. And so I was planning on going to see him, but I was at Where in the Woods. I think it was honestly like Wednesday night. So the festival hadn't even started yet. And someone signed the yearbook and they were like, have you met David? And I was like, who's David? And he was like, I Am Bonnaroo. And I was like, no. He was like, wait right here. He runs off to like towards the stage at Where in the Woods, comes back with David Bruce, someone who I've been trying to meet for like over a year at this point. And he's just like right there. I'm like, well, hi, nice to meet you.
Yeah, that's
and
cool.
So I got him to sign it. And then I just talked to him about the project a little bit, gave him the elevator pitch of what it was and what I was doing. And I got some high praise from him and ended up messaging him on Instagram and was like, hey, I would love to feature some of your work in the Bonnaroo yearbook. I think it'd be really cool if I could get some photos of yours to, you know, add to the book. And of course, write a little blurb about you if you're okay with that. And he said, yes. Which is really cool. So I actually have right in here.
Yeah, our guy Evan page. Evan Bonnaroo is I noticed in your gallery.
Yeah. So nice. I have a little page about him, he does and what he represents and everything, and some of his photography. And his photography is just amazing. And so there's some
yesterday or the day before. Yeah,
some really cool.
So cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, I guess for those that don't know, it's all about the people, right? I mean, he shoots the shows too for fun, but his main thing is looking at It's kind of what you're, like you said, he kind of doing a similar idea of what you were doing. I see why you at first were like, shucks, but yeah, it's a different concept, and there's room for everybody to play in this creative space.
It's not a competition.
That's the thing about this festival. There's so many different things, avenue, whatever. I mean, you got this thing, I Am Bonnaroo, David has his thing. We have this podcast now going on 8 years.
I'm trying to get like you guys.
Huh?
I'm trying to get like you guys go 8 years.
It takes 20 years sometimes. But it's well worth it. It's a ton of fun. So is this going to be a yearly thing for you with Bonnaroo? Because it didn't start here, but it looks like it's kind of settling here. And I don't mean settle in the word like because you don't want to get bigger and better. It just means it feels like you've found a place where this might be where you can utilize it the best.
Yeah, and the thing with Bonnaroo is I want to make it my home base for this project because I'll be honest, I love attending music festivals also. And I'm completely funding every single aspect and doing every single aspect of this book, from the photographing the pages with sparkly glitter pens and reflective stickers and trying to figure out how that all works, to, you know, concepting and designing and putting all the images in. I mean, it's a big undertaking and takes up festival time that I could just be going around, you know, watching shows. But I really do enjoy the process and I think it's a lot of fun. And I think the ability for people to contribute to a shared artwork and then be able to see it in print, I think it's just so cool. Just, it's so worth the effort that goes into it.
Along those lines, where did the book, I mean, had you done, I know you said somebody said, hey, well, it's like a yearbook, and you went ding, ding, ding. But had you done books before?
No, I have no experience.
Is it about the book for you, or is it about the process?
It's both. At this point, I think I'm trying to refine my skills at making the printed book and just try and make the best actual finished product as I can, because I think as I start to think about this concept more, it'd be really fun to have festivals either, you know, pay for me to come to the festival and do this project, or, you know, be able to at least help pay for my ticket and, you know, how expensive Bonnaroo can be, just all the things you need and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
I mean, so, I see what you're doing. I see what you're doing here a little bit. And I do the exact same thing. And I have for
that's
years.
That's why I asked. Yeah.
Yeah. You find an A. There's no shame in that at all, especially if you're doing something you believe in, which clearly you are. So,
yeah, but I definitely love the process.
Does Bonnaroo, do you see it being on your June calendar going forward for the foreseeable future?
My brother, I already bought tickets. Me and there my girlfriend go. Are going VIP. So we bought it as soon as those dropped. We got the earliest possible.
So you're hooked, man. You're hooked. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Of course. I'm obsessed with Bonnaroo now at this point. So
all right, Russ,
it'd be hard not to go.
I know Russ has the question. Go ahead. How do we get it? Yeah, you do. You're always the one that... Like, how do we get
a dedicated PBR page?
How do we find your book?
Yes. So if you go to festibooks.com or bonnarooyearbook.com, you can go to either one at festibooks.com. And I also made a special promo discount code ahead of time for you guys. So if you're listening to this right now,
all right.
The What Podcast gets you 50% off the book.
Look at this guy.
I just wanted to
give that to you guys.
Look at it. I'll apologize now for what you don't know. We're not sure if we want this guy on or not. We don't know if this is going to work out or not.
Yeah, one thing I said to Brian is I don't want to be this guy's marketing, but I love it. I love it.
That is great, man. Good move. Good work. Cool. Good work there.
So I just wanted to do a little bit of that. So
502. You said 50%.
Well, I'll be really transparent, actually, and let you guys in on kind of just what like the operating costs of getting the book printed.
Sure.
So the design software that I use, it only lets me use one publisher, which is Blurb. Now, it's like the easiest design book software ever. I mean, a monkey could use it, me, aka. It's like the only thing I could really get my head around for making the book. But I ordered 50 books and it came out to like $70 per book, which was like around $3,000. And I sold, I think this year, like 30 something copies. So I still have I have like 20 copies left that I'm just kind of sitting on. And the thing about it is it's limited edition. So it's only ever going to be printed ever 150 times. So that was kind of where I put it for marketing. I did. If you were signing the yearbook, it was on presale for $69.99 plus $10 shipping. So it's like at cost completely. Mm-hmm. And even I did $10 for shipping, but like it costs like $12 to $15 to ship it per. I think so. Yeah. I basically have lost money still on this. But the caveat is after the presale ends, I put it up to 200. So hopefully any copies will at least get me back to net zero. But for the What Podcast, if you love Bonnaroo, if you're about the project, I cut in half, so it's $100. But it's limited edition and it's super cool. It's got a bunch of really high res photography. Doing photography for 10 euros. So
do this for me. You answered my question, which was, you know, something memorable, and David Bruce certainly. But grab one of the books and just open it up and read.
Sure.
Good call.
I really want to hear.
Yeah, I'll get the original book out.
You know,
there was one that like basically made me cry. I'm hoping I'm like a bird.
Yeah, I mean, I can only imagine what people wrote.
I'm here.
Yeah, if you get them at the right time or the wrong time, you never know what you're gonna get. Mm-hmm. And that could be a fascinating exercise itself. Whether you're looking for, I mean, some people are just gonna want to see their name, right? They're gonna want to go back and relive their memory.
Yeah, I mean,
people are gonna want to relive others or learn others.
If I open my high school yearbook, it'd be like never change.
Stay
cool, never change.
I mean, here's just like a couple. Here's a couple examples of some like, you know, just some sweet messages. So, the universe is beyond thankful that you exist, Meg Han. I'm so happy you're here to read this. I love you, and you are doing so well. I'm proud of you. and everything you do. There's no
and these are people you do not know, right?
These are
just randoms.
This entire
all randoms
book
random.
Is completely filled out.
It's the most popular guy in the South,
right? And there's this one. I don't remember exactly. I should have.
Yeah, I know. We should have asked you ahead of time to.
It's okay. There was one. Oh, here we go.
I don't really care. Just open one and read it.
Here we go. Okay. Dad, you would have loved Rue. It's my first time taking Lil Sis. I know you're here with us, Kate Dillon. And when I read that for the first time, like sitting in my car at the end of the day after like going around getting hundreds of signatures from people, just reading that was just like,
yeah, yeah. I got a little verklempt right then.
You know, it's just like. Crazy. Cheers it's to my first Rue.
It's usually on Father's Day weekend, too.
Yep.
We got engaged on the farm, Haley and Beth, 2024. Let's see. This Radiate Positivity sticker. Someone here wrote, this phrase, parentheses, and place, that changed my perspective on life. Radiate positivity, spread love, show love. Tiffany at Olive Moon Botanicals. You are loved and treasured. Keep spreading your light. Year 7 and 3 here. I fell in love on the farm. There was a really cool page about vultures and like talking about how vultures don't actually spread disease. And it was like a kind of PSA about vultures and like save the vultures. I thought that was really cool.
Speaking of MDMA, right?
That'd be you the AM.
But then there's, you know, also just like really random funny stuff. You know, like someone just wrote squirting contest. There's like a whole range of various legible, illegible.
Oh, I bet there's some ridiculousness. Yeah.
There was this guy, Flowaway 10K, who made these like Polaroid Pokemon stickers.
Yeah.
So they're almost like trading cards, but stickers.
Yeah. And they're all individual stickers here, which was really cool. But his whole project was giving away 10,000 Polaroids, which I thought was really cool. But there's just so many fun, intricate little. There's like a whole page about jellyfish, pretty much baby's first brew. I don't know if this is all completely backwards to the camera, but
we got it.
Good. Okay, but
that's so cool.
It's so full. And
I mean, if only so it great. Were a keepsake for you, right? If that was the right. only thing right. that it mm-hmm. was, that's pretty damn cool.
Like it's so right. great. Here, like, for example, this page right here, right? This one reads, this is Sultra Kitty. Sultra Kitty has a quest for you. Show Plur wherever you may go. Show compassion and be kind to all kinds. I was just like, that's cool. So I said, I wrote back in the book and I said, thank you, Sultra Kitty, for your Plur quest. I will not fail.
Sultra Kitty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Time is the only real currency. What better way to spend it than at Rue? And then like a really cute little clock. You could just go through for so long. Like printer ink is an aphrodisiac. Like what? Who brought that to the fest? You know what I mean? Like there's so many stickers in here. They're so good.
Oh. Printer ink is an aphrodisiac.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Then my brother. Who this was? I brought my brother Joshua actually with me last year too, and it was his first time ever at a music festival ever. So that was really cool. Good to bring him in. He put this one in, and then someone put this one in like
That's
a couple
great.
Days later, and so that became the Bucky's page.
Nice. Your brand hasn't made it if you haven't become a dead Steely at some point.
I mean, it's just so cool the That's stuff really people neat. Put in. And sometimes I would like leave the book with someone and they would just like go to town for, you know, 30 minutes just writing stuff, or people would write a little something and then go on. And the interactions last anywhere from like a couple minutes to like close to an hour sometimes. And it's just so fun to meet the community, hear people's stories, and then at the end, just go through and just look at it. I mean, it's just like, you know, we got the SpongeBob page, the crazy SpongeBobs. It's just so much in here.
I like it.
And it's just great. And so I'm really excited to be able to share it and talk about it. And if you see me, And my girlfriend, who will be walking around the farm, I'll probably be wearing something similar to this.
I like your Boy Scout looking.
Yeah,
boy,
yeah, I was gonna, you know, point I got, out your your roof vest.
Got the whole thing. I got the shorts on.
Oh my god, this guy! Look at this guy.
I'll probably be wearing a matching outfit of varying patterns, but something along these lines is what you can expect to see.
I love it.
Big difference from the shy guy that didn't know how to talk to anyone.
Yeah, no shit.
Very big difference. It just takes doing it thousands of times. You get really good at it, turns out. It's just like a muscle, you know, you need to practice and just get out of your comfort zone and just talk to the people that you're energetically drawn towards. And you have no idea what doors will open from that. How I met my current girlfriend was through the rave scene, just going up and talking to people, not with the intention of dating, but just to meet people. So I think it's a great skill and it's really fun at festivals. It's really easy to go in with a book, write the name of the festival, the year, and just say, hey, do you want to sign by your book and see what goes from there?
Last one for me real quick. Do you have any ideas to put people on the ground in other cities to do another Coachella? I mean, you can't probably run off to Coachella every year, or like a coalition of any kind, or a one-man band at this point?
It's currently one-man band. I've been teetering back and forth on the concept of whether I want to get like a full team and actually make this like a full-on business and like go the full route, or if I just want to kind of keep it what it is, you know? Which is just me at a music festival going around getting signatures and making a cool one-off book if you want a copy of it, you know? So it's been a lot of fun.
Well, from my perspective, we are doing exactly what you're doing. That's why that we started this. I just like talking to people about Bonnaroo. We figured out everyone that we know is talking about Bonnaroo year round. And so
let's do it.
You're doing exactly what we're doing, just in a different way. I love it. That's awesome.
Hey, Caleb, thanks so much for jumping on. I guess if you want to throw out just way people can get a hold of you, the little mini call to action here on the way out, if you want to do that.
Yeah, sure. My personal Instagram, if you want to reach out to me directly, is at Carius, C-A-R-I-A-S. The project is at FestiBooks on Instagram, and the website is festibooks.com. Or you can go to bonnarooyearbook.com as well. And also, if you put in code the What Podcast at checkout, you can get 50% off if you want to get out.
This guy's got it all taken care of on the day of, man. Caleb, dude, really appreciate it. All of it coming on the last minute, being ready, being prepared, and having it together for us. What a cool project you got going. We wish you all the luck.
Thank you so much for that, Michelle. I really appreciate it. Yeah. And I will see y'all on the farm
June
this year.
Let's meet up.
Yeah, no, I want in that book, damn it.
I want in that book. I'm going to find you. I'll be probably posting either in the Reddit or on my social somewhere places to meet up as we get closer to the date.
We'll make it happen for sure.
Yeah.
We'll make it happen.
Excellent.
Would love to. Love to.
Thanks, man.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much. Appreciate it.
Yeah. So, I mean, what do you say about this? Guys, I keep being surprised by this festival.
Me too, you know, and it seems like I could say, why, Barry? And you could say, and somebody could be like, why are you surprised? You've been doing this. It's just because it's just the fun and innovation of people's minds at this festival. The creativity unlocks the imagination that people know they have deep down that sometimes has to be just beat out of them sometimes. It happens there all the time, and it's usually on accident. And that's what makes it so amazing to me. So, yeah, I'm always surprised. You shouldn't be, Brian. No, I am. I still am, too.
Very much. And I was glad to hear him bring up David Bruce, because I could tell all three of us are thinking, this is a lot like I Am Bonnaroo. And then he brings it up. And
again, I cheated because I saw his photo gallery last night. And I was like, hey, there's our guy, I Am Bonnaroo. So we'll probably go down that road. And he brought it up. And his excitement to meet, you know, I know Bruce is loving it, and he should, because he does great work and he deserves it. So how cool is that? The degrees of separation always are just like, really? Is it just that? It's that close, huh? That's pretty cool.
It is. Speaking of David Bruce,
We should probably get him on back at some point, have him back on the show, catch up.
Yeah, I am Bonnaroo for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, David's story, if you don't know, if you're new to this show, look up I Am Bonnaroo. It's his story is just like Caleb's. It's just like ours. You know, just go to this thing and fall in love and have a sparkle, or, you know, or whatever, have an idea, and then it becomes
turn
this
it into
thing.
Something.
And the Bonnaroo people are quick to jump on it and help in any way they can. And the, you know, the fans are love it. And
If you think, if you've got an idea and it's not just some throwaway, I'm stoned and drunk in the middle of the night idea. You got a real idea and you really push it and you put a lot of energy and effort into it. Somebody at Bonnaroo is going to notice.
Yeah.
They pay attention to all the adjunctive ancillary things going on. We've got to know some people early on through the industry. Most of those people from my circles, they're long gone. And the handful that are, there's a couple still, skeleton types, but the rest are people that I still have to remake. Who are you again?
Yep.
You know, I could be like, well, I've been doing this for 20 years. And like, okay, well, you can do it. You want to keep doing it? If you just have a great attitude and continue to do what you're doing, Bonnaroo themselves will notice because they pay attention.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That was a lot of fun. And to say I don't know when you actually first heard from Caleb, Brian, but I mean
20 hours ago.
That's what I've what a great find. That was awesome. So very cool.
So we need a question for next week, and we're still getting getting your entries for our ticket giveaway.
Entries, yeah.
And thank you so much for all that, and we'll be dragging that out as long as they'll let us, honestly.
We do need to find an end point for this.
we'll get there. We still got a long way to go. It'll go fast, but we still have a long way to go. We got a new question. Let's get that after we go ahead and revisit what we've got from Taco. How about that?
Yeah, Russ, you've got some entries already. What was the question last week? Is it? I've already forgotten.
Make one up.
Well, we just piggybacked off Brian's assertion that the 2025 lineup is as good, if not better, than 2020. And so we got some answers to that. I think I'll go ahead and play one now. This is from Lena.
Hello, friends at the Wet Podcast. My name is Lena, and I unfortunately do not have any awesome Bonnaroo decor behind me because I'm in a temporary college apartment. But I did hang up my Flip Turn memorabilia collection, and I'm very excited that they will be on the farm, as I talked about in my voicemail a couple weeks ago. I'm coming down here because I have both lineups pulled up next to each other, and I'm going to take the unpopular opinion here that I do think the 2025 lineup beats the 2020 lineup for a few reasons. It was hard for me to say this because I absolutely love that this lineup has Tame Impala, Lana Del Rey, and Miley Cyrus, and we all know that everyone has been wanting Miley Cyrus at the farm for a very long time, as well as Tame Impala, and the fact that Lana Del Rey is not even the headliner for that day is pretty incredible. I also am a huge Los Animals girl, but we get them this year, so that's great. But this 2025 lineup, I think, has a lot of special features that's going to put it ahead of 2020. First of all, the fact that this King Gizzard residency is just hidden up in the corner over here is crazy. You can miss it if you didn't look close enough. And I only know a few of their songs, but I'm very excited to experience that live. I think it's going to be amazing. We also have some amazing headliners, multiple very big names in every line that aren't even considered the main headliner. On Thursday, I think this is another thing that really puts 2025 ahead, is that Thursday is becoming a mainstream day. And we all know that real Bonnaroobians are going to come on Thursday anyways. Sorry, not real Bonnaroobians. That was a little aggressive. Everyone's welcome at Bonnaroo. But if you're a big Bonnaroo person, you're going to come on Thursday anyways. But I think it's amazing that they're pushing for these bigger artists on Thursday. And I'm also very excited for the Infinity stage. And the undercard is just fantastic on this lineup. And of course, Flip Turns on it. I'm going to keep bringing them up. So yeah, that's my opinion. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Wow. What a great, that's exactly what I'm talking about right there, as far as, you know, just something to come and have fun with. And I don't think it's that outlandishly crazy and hot take-ish to say that this one is a little bit better. And she agrees, and I love that she does. It might
she
be
brought
a simple,
PowerPoint presentation.
I love everything about that.
That Thursday is so strong, and Thursday just didn't used to be. And now it is. And so that's for me.
She came with points.
Very good work. Thank you very much.
Great job. That was awesome.
What else?
I got one more video. This is from Andrea. This is from a couple weeks back. We can play this one here real quick.
All right, Andrea.
When the first thing I heard about this year's lineup was that Justice was going to be performing, I already knew that I didn't know what to expect. Bonnaroo has outdone themselves this year, in my opinion. There is an undercard 3 to 4 deep that is just insane and impressive, let alone the headliners. Not all of them are my cup of tea, but that's part of Bonnaroo, is getting to learn what other artists are there that you like. But with Hozier closing out, we've got Dom Dalla, Glass Animals, Foster the People, Marina, Tape B. I mean, it's just unreal. Queens of the Stone Age are going to be there. King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. Love it. It's just going to be an incredible year. So I can't wait. Looking forward to it.
Awesome.
Very cool.
That's so cool.
Very cool. We all agree it's a good lineup. We all agree. I don't mean us three. I ain't heard a person.
There was that one guy.
the one guy. I forgot. The one guy. Worst lineup ever. Sounds like me 15 years ago. Everybody else likes it.
The point of this is we've got two tickets plus camping to give away, and we're asking a different question every week. Shameless, just because we're trying to get activity, and plus we want to hear from everybody.
And it's fun.
That was cool.
I love that too. That was both very good jobs there. And at the end of the day, we will just kind of pick one out. But we are going to go through everything. We talked about this a few weeks back. I mean, these are submissions we're going to see, and we're going to go through them. And so,
starting to think, in addition to the two tickets, we need to maybe come up with some other prizes for people.
I'm running out of my swag over these years.
I've had a couple of people ask for T-shirts. We need to get some more merch. We need to come up with stuff like that. And I'd love to send something to everybody, because it's really
maybe
cool.
We get with Caleb and throw a Bonnaroo yearbook in or something.
Maybe.
How about that?
Yeah, right there.
Just popped into my head. How about that for idea guy?
That's my man right there. That brain doesn't ever shut down. It never stops.
It's not necessarily churning out good info, but
I like it.
So what about our question this week, Gary? You had it this week.
And it may be next week I will ask you two, because we've running long, but occurred to me.
Spend some time on it.
I would love to know which shows you would like to do over. Which Bonnaroo set that you attended do you wish you could do over?
I love this question. I love it. And I do want some time to sit on it for us. So we will revisit this for us next week. Please bring us some of that, and we'll include it in the next week's show, because I think this is an incredibly simple yet effective question, because, boy, I could do this one for a while.
I will give an example. Beastie Boys. I was just not in the right headspace, and I would give almost anything to be able to revisit that show.
Well, knowing what I know now, yes. Yeah. And I would redo that show, because I wasn't there at all.
I was there, and it wasn't like a bad attitude. I just was not in the right headspace. And
it happens.
Now that I've, anyway. So I'm sure we all have them.
Yeah. I will work on this list, and I'll start it this big, and I'll work it down for brevity for the show. I love the question, and would love to have y'all's feedback and interaction when we do this next week. Maybe we'll make a whole segment out of it.
Exactly.
Please do. Go to thewhatpodcast.com. It's got all the ways you can enter. We are accepting voicemails, emails, faxes.
Yeah, faxes. You want to bang out something on words only? We can do that too.
We can do that.
The video and stuff, that's clearly for what we do on the YouTube platform. It's fun when that happens, but we know everybody can't necessarily do that. So whatever you got, we'll take it.
Yes.
We have other news. Russ, you went out of town. you had a meetup. Tell us about your trip to Nashville.
Yeah, this week we record this on Sunday mornings, and you know, they come out Wednesdays. But last week, after we got done hanging up with this show, I hopped in the car and went to Nashville and made it to over back to East Nashville for the Totem meetup. And
that math on time looked like that you were crunched. Did you make it? Did you make it on time?
Yes, made it. It worked out perfectly. Got everything all set up. And it was back at Rosemary Beauty Queen, which is where Bonnaroo did their little meetup thing a few months ago. It was much, much colder this time. We weren't outdoors. We were indoors, thankfully. But Daniel and Sharla, you know, they put on that thing with the totem board. And Shayna came down all the way from Indiana. So overall, there was probably about 20 or so people. They gave a little presentation, just kind of the state of Totem and how they've done over the past year, what they're planning to do next year. If you don't know, this is a nonprofit they started to help enable people that might not necessarily get to go to Bonnaroo to actually attend. They have a program where they partner up mentors and mentees. If you've never been and you don't know what to do, they can get you set up with somebody that can kind of walk you through it. They're working on a scholarship program. They've got people picked out for that. And their long-term goal is they want to do a international cultural exchange. They want to like reach out to maybe a group from Haiti that plays music, bring them to the farm and actually get to kind of experience that.
Yeah, it's not just, I mean, I've been involved with it, been on the board since the start. It's not just like giving people who maybe can't afford tickets. That's not the idea. It's more about
a little more educational, maybe. Is that the right way to put it?
More about getting people who can then take what, you know, and grow it, become like us, become regular goers and not just for Bonnaroo, but other festivals.
And so, pay it back and pay it forward kind
yes,
of thing.
Exactly. Yeah, they're looking to spread it forward for sure.
Exactly. So it's a big deal.
But yeah, the pictures look good. You guys, from the Instagram view, it looked like you guys had a big time in East Nashville. And East Nashville is one of the coolest communities you're going to spend time at in the entire state of Tennessee.
Yeah, super fun. After the little presentation, we walked down the street, which was probably dumb because it was like 18 degrees.
Yeah, we've been killed with cold here recently.
It was awful. Yeah, walked to a little taco place and had dinner there. So it was good catching up with everybody. I did meet Amy, who remember last week, she sent us a voice memo of some recommendations, including, what was it, Joey Valance? The one that she described as Gen Z Beastie Boys.
Oh, right.
That's right. Gen Z Beastie Boys. Right. Speaking of the Beastie Boys.
And I looked them up, and that's exactly on point, and it looks super fun. So that's on my list of shows now. I don't know how deep in the lineup y'all have gotten.
I haven't even started yet, and I kind of am waiting for when we do our kind of jumping off Discovery episode, whenever we decide to do it. We have time. I'm going to see Billy Strings in a month, so I've been catching up with some Billy, but I'm gonna dive into that, but I have not yet, and I'm looking forward to it.
Cool. Speaking of artists, I want to mention too, Flip Turn just released their second album just this week, and it's really
they
good.
Are going places.
Yeah.
They played Kimmel the other night. I think they're making the whole late night talk show circuit. They look even more the part than they did just two or 3 years ago, the last time we talked to them. And I mean, they've been dabbling everything, video games, music, and they're getting a music towards,
they've been doing that,
maybe even like jingles, commercials. I'm not sure about that yet, but that would tend to maybe lead that way. They're going places, and that's cool because it's fun music, it's good stuff.
Well, along those lines, just to tease a little bit, when we do, maybe not the deep dive, but one of, we're going to have a special guest, our own Brad Steiner. We're going to have him back on to talk about, he'll give us his picks.
Brad's going to,
at some point,
he's going to grace us with his valuable time.
So that will either please some people or piss off some people, but we're going to have Brad back on.
That's
we
why
need
I
the
love
Commanders
him.
To lose first because he can't focus. He can't think any outside of except NFL
he
football, right?
Has beat me into the corner about dragging me to Mets games and convincing me that to stop hating the Mets, because I'm a big Braves fan for anybody that didn't know. And he's converted me to a not hatred of the Mets. I can't do this for every one of his teams. I don't.
Yeah.
I mean, by the time you hear this, the Super Bowl will be set, so I'm sorry about
right,
this.
Right, right.
I hope it's not Washington.
Anyway, so that's coming up. So, all right.
I look forward to that a lot. Really.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.